Welcome to Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's a beautiful 12th of February, 2009. Are we ready to go? I think so. Introducing our crew. The producer, Frosty.
Good morning.
Hey, after we talked about the change being needed if you headed north yesterday.
I didn't even think about it.
Was it true that you got held up in traffic?
Yeah, there was about, 100 big rigs just chilling on the side of the road.
So there you hear it on Free Fire Radio, and Frosty ignores it.
How long were you in traffic?
Not very long. I drove on the shoulder.
Well, there is no such thing as being too long in traffic anywhere here in Reading.
Yeah.
And, of course, my soulmate, Linda Bott.
Good morning. You know, on the way here today, I have to just ask. You know where Crown Motors is?
Yes.
On Cypress, going across the bridge. Before you cross the bridge, you just get past Cousin Jerry's, and there's a merge of oncoming traffic.
Yeah.
Now, Kelly, you've been here a long time. Was the merge always there before the bridge?
No, they actually changed that. It kind of caught me by surprise, too.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. It's just, you really have to focus on that.
It has got to be. Okay, let's talk about that one just for a second. But that merge right there at night, you're just saying, why don't we just play bumper cars out there?
Yeah.
And if it's raining, because when they did it the first time. And what about the other one? You're coming on to 44 off of the 5 or off of Hilltop. You're coming in, and you merge into it right there on the bridge on 44. Do you see a yield sign anywhere? No. It's like whoever's got the fastest, biggest truck gets into traffic.
Yeah.
Well thought out planning.
Well, I was just wondering about that because on the way to work today, and it's happened a couple other times, and I thought I would bring it up on the air, and then I thought, today I'm bringing it up because it's kind of like almost playing chicken with the person next to you. Like, are they going to speed up? They're right next to me. What are we doing? Anyway, we have a really special guest. We've been waiting and anticipating this day for a long time. We've got, Ask the Attorney.
Ask the Lawyer. So, we wanted to have this on once a month so that people have questions on any type of legal questions. This man is at a Supreme Court level. Okay, maybe not the Supreme Court level yet because, he's got a beard. That's all right. But Rob Logan is, I've known Rob Logan since I moved to Reading, and I've seen the things he's done for our veterans and for the people that have needed help. And so what we wanted to do was for our audiences to do this, once a month if you have questions. So we're going to start that here on the next, right after our break.
Free advice.
Free advice.
Hello.
Yes, free advice from a lawyer. This is Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Listening to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. The time is 8:13. It's 38 degrees outside in case you're just tuning in. This portion of the show brought to you by New Image Photography. And if you're wondering what you want to do with your sweetheart on the 13th and 14th, we really want to bring to your attention that they're going to be at Vintner Cellar. And Julie and Dan are going to be taking pictures of you and your loved one. And you can leave with the picture right there. You can decide to put it on a small bottle of wine or a large bottle of wine. But they are our photographer of choice. That is New Image Photography. Now, we have... A very special, this is really an exciting show, okay? Rob Logan, attorney at law, here to answer your questions.
Well, we hope it's going to be exciting here. But anyway, again, thanks, Robert, for joining us today. We have some people on the line already, but I know we want to talk about something first, then we'll get to John right after Rob finishes here.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Carl and Linda. I appreciate being asked on. I certainly appreciate the opportunity to assist the North State with any legal concerns that they may possibly have. Let me begin by introducing myself. As stated, my name is Robert Logan, and I've practiced law here in Reading for approximately 11 years. I've been employed, however, in the legal community since I was 17 years old. As a matter of fact, it's the only thing that I know how to do. I can't run a cash register. I can't stand behind a shell counter. I can't flip burgers. The only thing I know how to do is work for a lawyer or be a lawyer. My wife and I moved here about 11 years ago, and we've had two kids since. I obtained my degree from Southern California and brought that up. And I use that to support our family, my little boy Stone and my daughter Bailey. I'd like to open the floor to any questions that that may be waiting for us at this time. However, before I begin, I'd like to inform everyone that what I will be doing here is providing legal information, not necessarily legal advice. The difference between legal information and legal advice is that legal advice is the application of the law to a specific set of circumstances for a case. Legal information is just general information about what necessarily is going on in the legal process or what needs to be completed before a goal can be achieved through the legal process.
Wow.
That's yeah. Pretty cool.
Yeah, the lawyer has to give the disclaimer, of course.
Absolutely.
So that's the way that we're going to do that. What I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to begin and focus on bankruptcy law. I'd like to begin with bankruptcy this month for the simple reason that the economy is tanking and that the bankruptcy filings have absolutely gone through the roof. I've noticed in bankruptcy court recently that the court itself is standing room only at this time. And 3 years ago, that was not necessarily the case. So we'd like to talk about bankruptcies, specifically Chapter 7s and Chapter 13s. Those are called consumer bankruptcies. And if we have any questions regarding those, that would be great. Essentially, the difference between a Chapter 7 and a Chapter 13 is a Chapter 13 is a form of repayment where you're going to repay your excess income into the Chapter 13 trustee each and every month for a period of up to 60 months. A Chapter 7 is the bankruptcy that we all want. That's the debt elimination, the debt discharge. The debt liquidation essentially means that the creditor eats it and the debtor walks from the debt without suffering any tax consequence. There are different means and requirements to qualify for each a 7 and a 13. Usually they'll force us into a 13 if we have too many assets that cannot be protected, or if there is excess income after the payment of the regular monthly expenses. We use a set of exemptions to protect different properties. So we have to exempt the property out of the bankruptcy estate, because anything left in the bankruptcy estate is necessarily the property of the bankruptcy court. So we use exemptions. When you hear the term exemption, think protection, because that's what we're doing with the property. We're protecting the property from the bankruptcy court itself. I'd like to begin at this point in time and see if we have any questions. And
we got one right here. John, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I don't have a question on bankruptcy, but if just a real quick question. If a person wanted to legally change their first name, how would they do that? And I can take my answer on the air.
All right. Thanks a lot, John.
Okay, bye.
Well, there's certainly a means to do that, and you'll do that through the state court, and it's a very simple process. As a matter of fact, it's a petition for a name change, and you can just about change your name to anything, including Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, just about anything you necessarily want. But the process is very simple, and as an adult, it can be done without any scrutiny by the court itself. However, with a child involved, then the child would need to obtain the consent of the parents or become emancipated beforehand.
I noticed that there was, if you noticed the big thing about the cake for the child, that was named Adolf Hitler Miller, because the parents
Campbell.
Were white supremacists. Huh?
Adolf Hitler Campbell.
Oh, Campbell, yeah, okay, but they were, parents were white supremacists and they wanted to get a birthday cake for their two-year-old, and stores would not give them the cake except Walmart, who said, and so we've got to give that to you. But I mean, that's probably a name change the kid wants to make at some point.
And the child in that scenario is named Adolf. He also has a sister who has a middle name of Aryan.
Oh, is that right?
That's correct.
Oh, okay.
And is it Campbell is the last name?
I'm not sure.
The first two kind of get your attention
throw
there.
It out. Yeah, hey, look, here's about
yeah.
the last one.
Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. We're going to ask Rob about octuplets, and are we on the hook legally to take care of those kids? Join us on the other side.
You know how I
Church Light.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Carl Linda Bott. Phone lines here 221-1402. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest tobacco emporium in the North State. Finest walk-in humidor. Great people working there. Espresso Joe's. Any type of coffee you want. You can buy it in bulk coffee, in bulk tea. And Joe and Shelley, great Americans. Local business. Let's support our local economy. Okay, Rob, we've got some people on the lines.
Are you ready to go to the phones?
I am.
We're going to go to them first before my question on octuplets.
Marie.
Good morning.
Taking your call, Marie.
Marie,
oh,
you're on.
Sorry. There's like a delay, I think. I have a question about real estate.
Yes.
I had a house that I bought. I put down $62,000 on it, and I got to where I couldn't make the payments, so I had to file for bankruptcy. And when I originally got the loan, I didn't have probably the right amount to even get the loan, you know, as far as income. Sure. And I was wondering, is there any legal recourse to, you know, try to recoup some of this money?
At this point, there is no legal remedy for that. I'm afraid that everybody has assumed that the debtors could necessarily make those payments, and I believe that a lot of home purchases were done given to people that simply couldn't afford it. We have housekeepers that have million-dollar mortgages. I mean, that's something that is insane. So at this point in time, of course, there are many people suffering that. However, no, there's no legal remedy through the bankruptcy or any other action that I may know of unless we're going to start talking about a class action against the lenders themselves. And that has been approached, but I don't think anyone has necessarily developed it at this time. But no, there is no remedy, especially particularly through the bankruptcy process itself, that will allow you to renegotiate the terms of a mortgage.
So there's no way to even go after the lenders who lended, you know, when they knew with my income that I wouldn't be able to make the payments?
Not at this time.
Okay. All right, well, thanks.
Hey, Marie, thanks. Yeah. You know what?
It irks me that I put down $62,000 and then they wouldn't renegotiate me when I, you know, couldn't make the amount. And so it's pretty much like, well, they didn't care if they renegotiated me because they had my $62,000.
Absolutely. That's
a $300,000 home.
Well, you know, Marie, you know, when we get callers like you and, you know, we've had, of course, we get callers all the time that when you see things like this is that the greed of the lenders and the greed of the banks, is what's among other people. All right. And I shouldn't say everybody in the bank or every lender is not like that, but so many of them is what's brought us to this point in our country, where we're getting ready to saddle ourselves with $4 trillion worth of more debt, and because they wanted your money.
Right. That was my whole life savings.
Uh-oh. God, Marie.
So now I'm on disability, and there's nothing really I can do. So
I'm so sorry.
Okay. Well, thanks.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good luck, Marie.
Thanks.
Edith, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Edith.
Hey, got a question for you. I'm kind of curious. We've got a friend that's talking about this bankruptcy thing, and I'm just kind of curious, how involved is the IRS and things like that for when you get these large tax returns back? Does that stymie the bankruptcy? And then also, if they're in negotiation with creditors and mortgage owner holders, does that also have cause a problem?
Well, it sounds like there's two questions there. Let me take the latter first. If my understanding is correct, you're asking the first part of that question is, if I'm going to receive my tax return, will I be able to protect it in the event that I file a bankruptcy?
Right.
If you spend the tax return before you file the bankruptcy, yes, you would be able to protect it.
Mm.
However, if it ends up in your, if it's still remaining in your bank account at the time that you file the bankruptcy, we have to use one of the code of exemptions, code of protections, to protect that from necessarily the bankruptcy estate.
Okay.
If you have not yet filed or you have not yet received the refund, that is a future interest, and you would have to list that in the bankruptcy, and you have the same problem as though it was sitting in your bank account.
Okay. That's kind of what I was wondering on their case, because they're sitting there and they're trying to negotiate their bills, but they're not having a lot of luck due to the high dollar amount and low income. And so they were deciding they just weren't going to do nothing, and they're just going to go ahead and try and fly through a bankruptcy. And I'm like, I don't know. you know.
Sure.
So I told him I didn't think it would hurt him if they at least tried to negotiate, because at least it would show the ability of not being able to pay it. But I didn't know if that hurts or helps.
Well, it certainly, during the bankruptcy, then no negotiations could occur, because once a bankruptcy is filed, an automatic stay becomes effective for a period of 45 days.
Mm.
Unless you had filed a bankruptcy within the last 12 months, and then that stay is only effective for 30 days. But during those 45 days, they could not renegotiate the terms of that contract, simply because the creditors can take no action in an attempt to collect it.
Okay, now do you also do small claims, or are you strictly bankruptcy?
I don't do any small claims.
Okay.
Attorneys are not allowed in small claims court. I do assist some in completing the small claims packet, but that's
the
extent.
Oh, you do? Okay. Well, then I'll have to get the number from Linda and Carl. I think I've got a dog that's going that way.
241-0126.
Yeah, it's on our website, freefireradio.com. All
okay,
right.
Okay, yeah, Carl can tell you about the dog.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks.
Oh, yeah.
You guys have a great day.
Hey, thanks a lot, Ian, for your phone call.
Bye.
Okay, this is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. News Talk 1400 KQMS. Our guest is Rob Logan, attorney at law, who's been answering questions. We've got the phone lines backed up, and we will get to those as soon as we get back from our break. Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Linda has left the building, so. Okay. We're talking to Rob Logan, who is our attorney here, who's answering questions for everybody. And we've got the backed up here. Ann, good morning.
Good morning. I'm really hoping you can give me the right information here, because I'm really puzzled what to do.
We'll do our best.
Okay. It was like this highly political property I saw on late at night, and I had a feeling my grandfather owned it, and I was adopted. And these people on the property that put a lawsuit against our family for the 5% that my grandfather purchased back in the 50s on this oil property, the lawyer was saying it was against the law that they had a lawsuit in the first place, and then they should have dropped this lawsuit, the judge, and they went before him 2 times because there was no due process or something, where they never served the family. And these people said, you'll never find these 2 kids. And so I was just about ready to do a search, because I'm like psychic with good and bad things sometimes. I always had a feeling maybe he owned this property and he was trying to tell me something. And so anyway, my sister, apparently, the lawyer asked her for a death certificate from my grandfather, and act like the whole case hinged on that. And apparently they offered her like $700, and since I don't know if it's because I knew what the property was worth, I said it's worth at least $2 million. And so anyway, he's not like telling me she's going to provide this, or he, at first he said she's going to provide this paperwork, important paperwork, somewhere down the line, and it's like now my sister's denying that she ever even had this paperwork to provide in the first place.
So is the concern this judgment against the property?
Yeah, now these people, now that they coerced me into signing, it's kind of like, well, my brother did power of attorney over this, over the phone with these people. It's like now they're even selling it, and they owed these other people that have 38% on the property, they owed them 4 years of, at least 4 years of leasing rent.
And where do you want, I guess, what is the question,
well,
the specific question?
First of all, with the first paperwork that was drawn up that my brother did that he got me to initial, because I saw a case on TV about drywall, and I know it's totally different, but I heard that on the third set of papers, like if they're second or third, they always go back to the first, and that's what was going through my head, maybe why David had me initial it.
You know, I'm not sure. I'd be certainly more than willing to review the documents for you. I'm not exactly certain. My first concern regarding this judgment is based on procedure. Was the judgment that was obtained against the property properly noticed? At one point you said that nobody had an opportunity to be heard, and there was a due process violation. Well, there needed to have been service. There needed to have been a hearing.
Well, I was never served, and I don't know if my sister was or not. See, when my mom passed away, she tried to leave some important paperwork to me through a friend, and he said, I have this important paperwork to give you.
It doesn't sound like that is valid service. You know, we can't have substituted.
Right.
There is such a thing as substituted service, but that doesn't sound appropriate.
And what I would.
I'm just wondering, like, if I don't even know if I was supposed to have been the one to receive this whole 5% and not even have to have it split.
And why don't you take Rob's phone number here, because
right,
this sounds like it could be kind of long. And
yeah,
and Rob, what's your number again?
And they're breaking the agreement now anyway.
Yeah.
And my number is 530-241-0126. My secretary's name is Amanda. You give her a call and she'll set you up.
All right. Well, I sure appreciate it. Well, I'll get a free consultation out of this.
You sure will.
I sure appreciate it a lot, because it's like the last little bit they gave us on the first part. It seems like I'm going to have to let everything go, and I'm going to end up with nothing anyway, you know?
Well, Ann, talk about it. Good luck, Ann.
Rob will fight for you there, Ann. Thank you.
Bye.
Scott.
Hello.
Good morning, Scott. You're on.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, it's our pleasure.
I just have a concern if in filing a bankruptcy, how protected would my retirement in 401k be?
That's a very significant concern, especially for most people at this time, if, in fact, there's any retirement left after this economy. But
you're so optimistic here,
yes,
Rob.
There is a congressional act that created ERISA, and if these plans are ERISA qualified or government sanctioned, then you're able to protect them despite the bankruptcy, regardless of the value that they are.
What would be an example of an ERISA?
For a 401k would be an example of a ERISA qualified. And the reason for that is because the debtor themselves do not have any access to those funds. If the debtors have access to them, then of course the creditors do. But the creditor or the bankruptcy court has no greater right necessarily than the debtor themselves. Now, an example of what is not ERISA qualified would be an IRA, and an IRA would not be protected under that code.
Okay.
So a retirement like a 401, but what if you have a retirement from a company? I'll say a military retirement.
Absolutely protected.
It's absolutely the military retirement or a retirement from the school system or something like that. That's all protected.
CalPERS, correct. STEERS, correct.
Did that help, Scott?
It was great. Thank you very much.
Well,
thank you,
our
Scott.
Pleasure. Kate, good morning.
Good morning. I have a question for Mr. Logan. I was wondering if he might be able to explain the advantages or the disadvantages to using a credit counseling service as opposed to filing a bankruptcy.
You know, Kate, this is something I'm glad you brought this up, because, you know, I've been seeing these ads on TV where these people owe $2 million in taxes, and they end up paying 43 cents. I mean, I don't know about you, but I keep thinking to myself, why are they only paying 43 cents out of $2 million when the rest of us get hammered, they set our butts on fire, and these people walk out with like 1% of what they owe? I mean, who picks up the slack?
Right, yeah.
And what did he do for $2 million? How did he get $2 million in the hole? And then, oh, I'm sorry, I made a bookkeeping mistake, or my name's Tom Daschle. What is this?
I know. Is that for real? Does that really happen?
Yeah, no, you got me started on this, Kate. I'm sorry, but we'll let Rob answer this.
I haven't had very much good luck with the debt counseling services. It's been my experience that most of those agencies simply pocket somewhere between 10 and 50% of the monthly fee that you pay them. They'll make you promises that they'll combine your bills and then send a partial payment on each bill that you owe to each respective creditor. The problem with that, though, is that none of the creditors are getting full payments. And so the credit report, will still state that you're delinquent for sending in those partial payments. I think that they're often just simply ripoffs, and a lot of times they will even charge you your first payment as a donation to them. So you really have to be careful of those types of agencies. If you were looking at a credit counseling agency, my suggestion would be to contact the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, NFCC, and find someone that they recommend. You want to ask a couple of things. Are they a nonprofit organization? Who composes their board of directors? Do they offer any services other than the debt consolidation? More importantly, what type of fees are they going to necessarily charge you?
So you're saying is that they're going to tell you they're going to get you out of debt. But what they end up doing is they're trying to do is have your creditors except less money. And then lets you pay less money, you know, to them. However, you're still on the bad credit report.
Absolutely. Your credit report is still negatively impacted. And because of that, many times they will not be able to arrange sufficient amount of payment reduction to the creditors. And then just before you lose the house, just before you lose the car, they inform you there was nothing that we could do for you, or maybe just after you've lost those things, there was nothing that we could do for you, and you should consult a bankruptcy attorney.
This is a good question, Kate, because there's a lot of people because of what's going on in our economy. Hey, Kate, we're going to have to take a break, though. Does that answer your question?
It sure does. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kate. Hey, this is Carl Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. We have a few lines open here. Get that free legal advice.
Lynn and Charlie Moss celebrate their 16th Hitchcock Show, weeknights from 8 to 10 on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here, 221-1402. Carol, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I just have a very quick question, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay.
Why can you not get a local attorney to do malpractice against the doctor or our local hospitals? Is there some particular reason why not? And I'll take my answer off the air.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
The reason for that, I believe, is that it's, one, they're very difficult. Those types of cases are very difficult to prosecute. I don't do any medical malpractice. I do criminal, family, and bankruptcy. Those are the focus areas of my practice. But I believe that those cases are very difficult to prosecute. And furthermore, I don't know of many law firms in the North State that have the resources to handle those types of claims. Many of those claims need to go to the bigger firms down in Southern California or the Bay Area.
So you mean if there's something that you believe is malpractice right here in River City, that you could probably find a lawyer at least to start it around here, though, right?
Or you might be able to find a lawyer to get started around here. The problem with that is that most of these offices are small offices, and the fees to prosecute a case, to persecute a case like that, are absolutely phenomenal. Between the experts, the depositions, it becomes extremely costly. Most of the attorneys in Reading simply don't have the resources to prosecute that type of case, particularly when it's going to be done on a contingency, meaning that the plaintiff doesn't necessarily need to come up with any upfront money.
Okay. Okay, I've got a question here. The octuplets. The lady who had the litter of children. The lady already had 6 kids. I've been reading and hearing that the state of California, i.e. me, and you, and Frosty, and Linda, are going to have to pay for the birth of those children.
I've heard the same. I heard that Kaiser Permanente is seeking $1.5 million from the state for the neonatal costs of those children. It's absolutely phenomenal to me that the state would pay that, considering the fact that she had 6 children before she had the 8.
So, and 3 of them are on, have got special needs.
Right, and they're receiving SSD for that.
Yeah.
And she's also receiving approximately $490 a month in food stamps, which doesn't bother me quite so bad as the $1.5 million medical cost to the taxpayers.
I just don't, it's somewhere. Somebody has got to take a look at the doctor who implanted this in here. And, I mean, does this mean that somebody comes in and says and wants something like this? Don't they go through any type of psychological, test? Somebody says, are you crazy? Does anybody say that?
I understand the first doctor that she sought to do it refused to do it, and then she was able to find a subsequent doctor that agreed to do so. I agree that there needs to be some analysis. There needs to be some standards that says we, the taxpayers, will not continue to pay for these types of medical costs, particularly after you have so many children. Now, I was making this comment to my wife yesterday, and she said, that sure becomes a slippery slope. I mean, where do you stop people from procreating?
That's what I was
thinking,
too.
We have a constitutional right to procreate, and so if that's what we wish to do, then we should be able to do so. When do we become China and we're limited to one child
per family? Well, but the thing about the constitutional right to procreate, okay, but there's no constitutional right for me to pay for your kids. Show me in the Constitution where it says I have to pay for your frivolous behavior.
I agree.
You do?
Furthermore, I also understand that she wanted to have those children by herself. And so at this point in time, the father is not even in their lives.
That's right. In any of the children's lives. And I understand it's the same donor, the same biological sperm donor for all these kids, too.
That's incredible.
Hey, look, we've got to take a break here, and we're going to get back to the phones. Bill, you're up next. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, this is Carl Linda Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, our guest today is Rob Logan, and Rob has given away thousands of dollars in free legal advice today. Now, we've only got a few minutes left on the air, so we're going to go to Roberta, and then we're going to go to Bill. Roberta, keep it quick.
Okay, well, I'm just a little upset when they keep complaining about this lady having 8 babies.
Uh-huh.
You know, how many illegals come over the borders and have their babies here and we pay for them? How many illegals live here and have their babies that we pay for that are made citizens of the United States because they're born here? I am really upset that the sanctity of life is not more important than these dollars, especially when we waste so many dollars on illegal aliens. And all the prisoners, one-third of the people in jail are illegal aliens we're paying tax dollars for. I would rather my tax dollars go for these babies than go for those illegal aliens or for my tax dollars paying for abortion.
Roberta, you know, if it comes down to that, whether it's the octuplets or illegals, you are absolutely right. I cannot agree with you more.
All right.
On the other hand, we've got both. And so, you know,
that's only 8 babies that she had one time. Do you know how this is an anomaly? This is not something that happens every day.
Well, that's true, but it's something that she opted to do after having 6.
I still say once they were babies that they should not have selective abortion. If you believe that God created us in his image and that human life, the sanctity of human life, then we would not kill any children.
No, ma'am, and I'm not arguing that at all. What I'm saying is the fact that she had 8 children, unmarried, no job,
that
we're paying for them.
I think that comes down to the doctor that did this.
You know what? I think he ought to pay for it.
Yeah, there are other things, and she's evidently not clear thinking, and she has babies. Why would a doctor be doing this?
Why would a doctor be doing
that? She already has 6 children.
I think that's a great idea. I've heard that before. Why don't have the doctor pay for this?
Yeah, that probably would be good.
Yeah,
anyway,
hey, Roberta.
Thank you for letting me this morning.
Oh, hey,
this is really bothering me.
Well, you know what? That is what this show is for. This is for y'all to vent. Thank you.
All right, bye.
Bill, you're changing the subject, but go for it.
I'm going to change it. You got thousands given away by your guest today. Well, we're going to give away some free prizes at a show that we're having.
Okay.
I'm with the Westside Performing Arts Summer Kids Program fundraiser event.
Right.
People, get your pencils out. I'll give you the phone number. It's a $25 ticket. It includes a barbecue chicken or ribs dinner with free door prizes, live auction, and entertainment like songs from Broadway shows. The songs include Oklahoma, Wells Fargo Wagon, Hard Hearted Hannah, and the unsinkable Molly Brown. And then an old-fashioned sing-along with yours truly, Banjo Bill Collins and the Oak Bottom Boys. Other skits and entertainment from local singers and dancers from the Westside Performing Arts Company.
Now, when's this going to be?
Corlick, Lisa Redden, Lisa Collins. It all happens at the old Shasta Schoolhouse, Highway 299 West. You can get your tickets at Backyard Destinations or Graphic Emporium or call that number I said I'd give you, 515-7151, or maybe call the station, Linda and Carl, maybe you can give it out. It's a fundraiser. It's a good thing for kids this summer. With money down the way it is, we got to give the kids something, and that's what the
Hey, Wild Bill.
Will do.
Wild Bill, when's it going to be?
It's going to be. That's what I wanted you all to know. Say, what is it? It's going to be a week from this Saturday.
Okay.
The 21st of February.
All right.
Starts at 6, goes until 9 or whatever. There will be beer and wine. You can buy there lots of prizes. You can throw someone in jail, then you bail them out, and the money goes to the kids. A lot of fun. Come dressed as a Western varmint, partner, or a little dance hall girl, girl. Bring your dresses. Bring your dancing shoes. There will be dancing, a live band doing sing-along songs. Oh, and also
hey, look,
Susanna,
if we promise,
you know, good old-fashioned sing-along.
If we promise to push this for you, you get off the phone.
What's that?
If we promise to push this for you, will you get off the phone?
You darn right I will, partner.
Thanks, Wild Bill.
Bye.
Hey, you know what? This is a great... I love this. I love this job. You know what? Wild Bill is right. You know, this is something that's for the kids, and we are going to be talking about it. It's on the 21st. It's a Wild West show. It's going to be great. Wild Bill, banjo, tri-tip barbecue, you name it, it's going to be there. So, hey, Rob Logan. Thanks a lot, Rob. I appreciate
Thank you
being
very
here.
Very much, Carl. Thank you.
Well, once a month, we want to have you here. It's going to be on a regular schedule basis. And there's a lot of questions out there, and there's a lot of people that don't know which way to turn. You know, we've had a lot of people call in, and they say, hey, what about the people? You know, so what if they don't pay their bills? Well, here's what I think about that. A lot of people have worked their whole lives. They had all their money in savings plans that was taken, you know, that just disappeared with the stock market crash. They lost their jobs through no fault of their own.
Absolutely.
They need a place to go to. They need a place to turn to. And that's, you know, that's why we wanted to have Rob on. Give people a start. Anyway, thanks again, Rob.
Thank you, Carl.
Hey, this is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio. Tomorrow's open line. Anything you want, call in and you take charge. And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?